Chapter 2, History and Exam.
So just like you say, sometimes it's really obvious when someone is seizing. They're tonic-clonic, they're convulsing, they're hypoxic, their lips are blue. I know that's a seizure. But it's not always like that. Sometimes it's a lot more subtle. Or sometimes you just come in with the history that they had a seizure at home, and then we got to put on our thinking caps and try to sort that out, whether or not that really was a seizure. So let's talk about the history and exam of the patient who just seized. And we're going to chat with one of my residents, Dr. Nelson Diamond.
Well, my first question is always, do you have a history of seizures? Obviously, if they know this could be sort of run-of-the-mill, everyday type of thing for them. On the other hand, if it's a first-time seizure, then you have to think a little bit more.
And by think a little bit more, he means freak out and work this up. First-time seizure gets a workup, unless it's a little tiny baby with a fever. But a first-time seizure in an adult, this is not a good thing. This requires some, tests.
So if they do have a history of seizures, or even if they don't, you want to know about their medication history, because either they've changed their anti-epileptics recently, or they may have taken a medication that decreases their seizure threshold, so you want to think about that. Other things, then, if it's a first-time seizure, you want to make sure you think about anything that could affect the brain. So trauma. Did they hit their head? Were they in a car accident and had a seizure? That's a different differential. Do you also want to make sure they didn't hit their head afterwards? Could be a sequela of the seizure. They could have some kind of trauma. Then you want to think about, have they been sick recently?
So more specifically, like, what has been going up leading up to this seizure? Has something changed? Again, we're assuming adult new-onset seizure. What's changed? Has something gone on here? You've been losing weight, night sweats. Do you have things that might suggest this person's got cancer? Or, as you heard about, you know, a history of trauma? Or maybe they've tried some new herbal therapy that they've just found works really great and they're taking it in large quantities, causing them to seize. Extract of pro-seizure tree. That's bad. You shouldn't do that.
There's some electrolyte abnormalities that you'd want to think about. So have they been vomiting? Have they had anything else?
Although, let's be honest here, if you've got an electrolyte abnormality so severe that it causes seizures, you usually do not wake up between them. You are unconscious.
Fever, do they have a headache? Yeah.
Obviously, fever in and of itself in an adult doesn't produce a seizure, unless, of course, you have a seizure disorder that's underlying, and then a fever might drop that threshold. And then headache, we worry about progressive headache, space-occupying lesion, tumor, secondary, primary. And so generally, seizure plus headache that's progressive equals, you know, cancer, space-occupying lesion, something bad.
You know, and just kind of round out a good review of systems.
I personally don't really know what a good review of systems is, except that it's something that you do every time on every patient so that it reminds you of the stuff you might otherwise forget. Get a system, because if you always think about asking about allergies, you always forget to ask about, you know, recent travel. Have a review of systems. You do the same every time, so you pick up those things you might not otherwise remember.
So Jess, I basically think exactly the same way that Nelson does. Unless I have a clear-cut history that this is a seizure in a patient who knows what a seizure is, who's had them before, who has a history of this, if everything isn't fitting into that chronic seizure history, that's one thing. But if it's not, then I really have to start thinking more about the cause of the seizure.
Yes.
Is this from an infection or a meningitis? Is this from substance abuse? Is this a drug of abuse? Is this an electrolyte disturbance? Is this alcohol related? Is this trauma that I need to uncover that's happened here that no one knows about? And so really, is it cancer? You know, these are the things that enter my mind once I can't make it neatly fit into that, hey, this is just the same old seizure disorder that they've always had.
So we're going to go through the history, exam, and workup. But I think it's really important to call this out right up front that throughout all of this process, in our minds, we should always be asking the question, was this even a seizure? Because as you taught me, Dr. Swadron, when I was a young medical student, that there are many things that can look like seizures, including syncope. Syncope is sort of the big one. So as we go through history, exam, and workup, let's talk about that. So Nelson did great with the history, but what are some other things that you would add in that you want to find out?
Well, you know, he did a very good job of that in terms of identifying whether they were actually having a seizure. But one thing that he didn't mention was that there often are witnesses to the event. Now, that can actually be a mixed blessing because some people have different ways of describing different things.
Right.
And I've certainly had people describe what they thought was a seizure and it turned out it wasn't at all.
And they also lose the sense of time.
No, that's
the
right.
Seizure
no,
was
I know it was an hour and a half and he was on the
long,
floor.
Right?
And yeah, exactly. study. And so it's not foolproof, but obviously you want to address that if it's at all possible.
Yes.
Because the person's unconscious, by definition, they can't tell you exactly what happened when they were unconscious. And so that's very important. And then the other thing is, if things really aren't fitting into this pattern of a typical seizure for this patient, you know, this is, I've had epilepsy, this is very similar to what I've had in the past, witnesses confirm that it is similar to what I've had in the past, whatever the case may be, then you have to really start thinking about these other etiologies, serious things that cause seizures,
yes.
like infection, like meningitis. Could this be occult trauma? Could this be an electrolyte disorder? Could this be metastatic disease in a person that had breast cancer or prostate cancer, often goes to the brain, for example? So really, you're going to focus in on that differential fairly quickly.
And even the patients who do have an established seizure disorder, you also want to make sure that there isn't something else going on with them that has either triggered the seizure or some other secondary cause of a seizure. Like a person with epilepsy can still have meningitis.
Exactly. Or in a patient with seizure disorder can still have a syncopal episode.
Absolutely.
And so we really have to take a good history.
Let's talk about the exam and let's hear it from Nelson Diamond.
So the first thing I always think about that you jump to is, you know, findings that might be more consistent with a seizure. Because obviously the subtext is that you might be trying to differentiate what looks like seizure with something else, like syncope. So things that are more consistent with seizure are tongue biting and urinary continence. Those are like the two hallmarks.
And the tongue biting specifically in a seizure patient is lateral tongue biting. We all bite our tongues, we're not seizing. But biting the tongue along the sides, that's very specific for a seizure if you see that. And of course, whizzing on yourself. But sometimes I do that without a seizure.
But don't forget, in addition, you want to do a good thorough neuro exam because it's a neurologic problem. So you want to get a good look at the pupils. You do your thorough strength and sensation testing. We mentioned a little bit earlier that like a fever would be an important finding in a seizure. And you want to get a full set of vitals as well. Make sure you don't forget that fever. Nuchal rigidity goes along with the fever seizure diagnosis that we're hinting at.
Well, let us not hint, let us state explicitly. In an adult, fever plus new onset seizure equals what?
Think encephalitis.
Right.
Think encephalitis.
Right.
I think that what is actually encephalitis. You might think meningitis, but it's really, there's something wrong with their brain. There's a brain abscess, there's encephalitis. And generally, these people are sick, 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 sick. Sick.
And then think about, again, we talked about sequelae of seizures. Mm-hmm. You want to do a good musculoskeletal exam, including like the classic board answer is posterior shoulder being associated with seizures. So those are kind of some of the highlights.
Nelson makes some really good points here. So not only are we looking for clues as to why the patient had a seizure, but just as he said, we're looking for sequelae of their fall, of their trauma. So you're making sure head to toe, you're looking for signs of trauma and musculoskeletal injury. Again, pointing out vital signs, including the temperature. You want them on a monitor, you want to see if they're hypoxic, especially if they're still seizing. And so we're really looking for both the reasons why they seized and any sequelae of that seizure.
Yeah, and you mentioned actually their temperature, and it's true that the temperature can go up, Jess, in a seizure,
mm-hmm.
but be really careful. I wouldn't assume that. I would assume that if they have a significant fever with a seizure, you really have to go down the, hey, could this be meningitis? Could this be an intracranial bleed pathway? You wouldn't assume it was from just the seizure
right.
activity.
That's
an important
point.
Pitfall. But yeah, I totally agree with the way that Nelson laid that out. You're looking for confirming that this was a seizure on physical exam at the same time as you're looking for clues for what the etiology might be. Exactly that approach. And Jess, in terms of the things that differentiate seizure from syncope on examination, he alluded mm-hmm. to several of those. I just wanted to point out that the incontinence has been found to be a bit overrated.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily distinguish syncope from seizures from other things too well. And so that one I wouldn't focus on. But tongue biting mm-hmm. in the literature has been found to be very specific for seizures. And so that strongly suggests it was a seizure. Also, huge one, if they're confused, so if there's witness report of them being confused or if they are still confused after the event, that's highly suggestive of seizure as opposed to syncope. And then one more thing, as they get older, syncope becomes more of an issue, life-threatening syncope. And so in the younger age of the spectrum, if they're under 45, for example, that also greatly increases the chance that it was a seizure, the episode that they discussed. So those are just some of the things for distinguishing the two.
Perfect. And then when you see the patient, as Nelson pointed out, you're doing a neuro exam, a full neuro exam, because you can have this phenomena of Todd's paralysis. So you can have these residual neurologic deficits when the patient is still recovering from their seizure, and usually doesn't last very long. Usually it should be resolved within about 30 minutes or so.
It's a really interesting phenomenon, and it's also very clinically important because people that have a residual paralysis or neurologic deficit, they're usually unilateral
mm-hmm.
after a seizure, so often are are mistaken for strokes.
Right.
And so one of the common reasons that we misadminister TPA to a presumed stroke patient is actually a seizure with Todd's paralysis.
Right. Yeah, that is really tricky.